In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord in today's gospel, he's really zeroing in on all of us, I think, or at least many of us, because he is very perceptively diagnosing the spiritual situation of so many different people. And he puts them into four categories in this parable of the sower sowing the seed. Well, first of all, St. Gregory Palamas tells us that this gospel is read this time of year because this is the time when seed is put down, hoping for some kind of growth coming up in the spring. And so it's very appropriate for us to look at it in this way. But the parable is not something that is very easy on us, because with these four categories that the Lord here discusses, three of them, 75% of them, are missing the mark. They're not going to make it to the ultimate goal. And also, it's very important for us to understand that at any one time in all of our lives, we might fit into different categories that the Lord talks about today. But at least for overall, he's talking about those with the willingness to hear and receive the gospel. And of course, the first, the sower scatters seed, and it goes about by the road. And the birds come and pick it up. And he likens this to people that perhaps are hearing it, but they don't pay much attention to it. They're not very open to this sort of thing at all. They have too many other things going on, usually too self-obsessed, not wanting to even imagine that there might be some other way in life aside from the one that they are embracing at any moment. And so if the seed is the Word of God, it doesn't have any impact on them at all. The second, when he talks about the seed falling upon the rock, well, these are people that, that sounds good. You know, this sounds like something I might be interested in, but ultimately, no, because their hearts are hardened. They are more interested, really, in their own thing at the time. And if it doesn't meet their expectations, it kind of falls by the wayside. Usually a person like this is interested in something, but if it's not meeting their own idea of what they might be attracted to, if it's something different than what they're used to, it gets dismissed and goes on, because there is no root at all in them for it to take place. The third is the weeds. Now, the weeds, the grass, there is actually some root taking place for those that hear the gospel. But this is the one that I think probably even most Orthodox Christians get lost in, because they hear it with enthusiasm. They take it to their hearts. They are really excited about it. But there's so many other things going on in their lives that it gets pushed off to the side. And most of the time, those things going on in their lives are really stupid things. Stupid things. Interpersonal relationships that are getting in the way, or there's something else going on that they have to do. In other words, they're not putting it in the forefront of their lives. It's still sort of in the back seat. Even though it's taken some root, they may want to do the right thing. They may feel like they even are doing the right thing, but yet that nth degree of commitment is lacking. And so they never get to where they want to go or think perhaps that they should go, even though many times they delude themselves that because they, well, at least they're in the grass, they have some roots, that's okay. But according to the Lord today, no, it's not. And the fourth falls among good soil. There it takes root. People become encouraged by it, satisfied by it, and not only personally taking it into themselves, but they are starting to give away as well. That is the fruit that the Lord talks about. Because it's not just ourselves, it's the taking of ourselves and giving to others that really shows us whether this seed of Christian faith is in us or not. And I say that this happens to us often because if you look at yourselves, as I look at myself, any particular day, you may be in one of these four categories. You may wake up in the morning and think, ugh, morning prayers, forget it, I'm starving. Where's the bacon and eggs? You know, let's go on to that. I'll pray later in the day. I don't want to mess with it, you know. Other times our hearts are stony. We may actually come to our icon quarter. We may actually start saying the prayers, but yet we're feeling that somehow God's not listening. You know, God's not hearing us. Because we're there. I mean, we're in our icon quarter. We're saying the Trisagion prayers. Where is God? Certainly that deserves a reward of some kind. I mean, come on. So the stoniness of your heart at any one time may make you to stop then because he's not listening. Which, of course, we know that's not really true, but that's a whole other sermon. And so then we actually have days where we are engulfed in things. We actually feel that somehow we are making a connection in our prayers, that we want to do these things, that we want to spend more time with God, but then the phone rings. Something happens. Something pops up on the television set. Something you forgot that you were supposed to do, and it just slipped your mind completely. And so you slip totally back into that worldly morass that we all find ourselves in most days. And so we don't really settle in to having God with us all day long. And then some days, of course, we feel like, wow, it's all clicking. We're there. We're praying. We think God is listening this time. When actually it's our own spiritual state which is dictating that sort of thing to us. But we are involved. We are remembering the Lord every moment of the day. We are saying our prayers. We're not embarking on any specific work without asking God's blessing on it. How many of us do that? You got a meeting with your boss or something. How many say a prayer? Lord, help me in this meeting. Be with me. Does anybody do that? If you're selling something, do you say the prayer? Lord, help this goes well. Help me to present my product as best I can so that this person may engage me. Do we do anything like that? Are we saying these prayers, doing these things, and all what we might consider the most mundane activities of our lives? Because, my brothers and sisters, this is where genuine spirituality blossoms. When we are bringing God into our lives at all times and in all things. Again, St. Gregory Palamas speaks specifically about this particular parable. And he says, this is what's imperative to us. That we do wake up. That we do know that we are to bring God in our lives in everything that we do. That there is absolutely no portion of anything we do that somehow can exclude God. That He is as involved with us in the most sluggish and even demeaning times of any portion of our day than He is with us here in church today. He is always there. He is always there. We may see all of the icons today, and of course it sort of focuses you and says, okay, I'm in church. I should be worshiping. I shouldn't be paying attention to everything else that's going on around me. I need to look. I need to pray. But yet these icons are available to us at all times. They can be put in your car. They can be put in your wallet. They can be put anywhere. A certain glance at a specific time of day and an icon of the Mother of God may remind you that, no, perhaps I should not curse this person to the furthest depths of hell because they took my parking space. Things like this, These are the things that make the little differences in our lives. It's very interesting. I don't know if any of you saw a movie a number of years ago. It had Bill Murray in it, called The Razor's Edge. And he went to out into the Far East somewhere and was studying Far Eastern philosophy. And he goes out into a mountainside and meditates. And he does this for a long period of time. And then when he comes back, finally, they asked him what he learned. And he said, well, I learned that it's very easy to be a holy man on the side of a mountain when you're all alone. And that's very true. Because the difficulties in achieving holiness is the difficulty of achieving it in the midst of everyone else. In the midst of all the things that we do day after day after day. All the concerns we have, the struggles we have, the little things, the big things, everything. The holy people, the saints that we see around us, they were able to do this. They were able to bring God into every decision that they ever made. Every word they ever spoke was first run through the Lord Almighty before it left their lips. That's what our goal is in this life. To become that holy. To become that aware of God's presence. Because then there won't be any question of you thinking that somehow God isn't there listening to my prayers. Because of course God's there listening to your prayers. The problem in that case is your own state of mind. Your own building of walls between you and God. Because things might be going in a different direction than the way you were hoping they were going to go that day. These are the little battles, my brothers and sisters. This is the essence of what we call the spiritual warfare. Okay? It's not in the big things, although it can be there, but it's more likely into the little things of your life. The little things where the demonic powers are suggesting to you, and believe me, all they can do is suggest. They can't make you do anything. Remember the old Flip Wilson thing? The devil made me do it? Pfft, baloney. The devil suggests things to you, but you have to take it in to your heart for that to be bearing any kind of evil fruit. We have to get ourselves to the place where we can ward off these things, know when they're not coming from us, know that we should not be taking it upon ourselves, know that, as we heard this weekend at the conference, that things start with a suggestion. They start with a thought. But then we couple that thought in our brains and we start dwelling on it and thinking about it a little bit. And then that thought ultimately leads to a commission, an act, a sin. And then when that sin is repeated over and over again because we've gotten used to it, then it develops into a passion. And so there is a diagnosis of the way these things go for all of us. The way that we think about things, the way that we do things, the way that we involve ourselves with different things that are suggested to us or that come into our minds, and we make the big mistake of making it our own. And once we do that, we're gone. We're gone. We have to ward these things off. To understand that the Lord is with us at all times, that even these little things we take into our minds, that He knows they're there. Okay? We're not going to hide anything from God. Nothing ever are you going to hide from God. And only the Lord knows how many angels are surrounding you at any moment when you're committing some sort of sin. You're not alone. You can't hide. It's all there. It's all for the heavenly host to see. And one day, way down in the future, at that great and holy day of judgment, it's going to be there for everyone to see. Because that's what the Lord says. When the books are open and the record of everything that everyone has done is made manifest to everyone. So it may not be exposed here, but it's going to be exposed there. And if we work on these things here, if we come to confession, if we relinquish these things, Because all the things we relinquish in confession, if they're not repeated, they're not going to be judged. They're gone. They're forgotten. They're out of the mind of God completely. So we have to activate this inner sense of a sort of imperative spiritual energy that keeps us going, that makes us look towards God for all things, to cleanse ourselves from the things that God says that we should not be involved in, and to water those seeds in us that are godly so that we can spread them to everyone else. Because like St. Seraphim says, acquire the spirit of peace and thousands around you will be saved. And that's very, very true. If you've ever been around someone who is a saint or saintly, and I hope all of you get that opportunity, you'll know what I'm talking about. Holiness spreads. The spirit of peace spreads. And if you acquire that, many around you are going to get it as well. So look at this parable carefully. Decide to yourself, you know, I want to be the good soil person, you know. That's what I want to do. The good soil. The spiritual, you know, Pike's Nursery. That's what I want to be in. I don't want to be stony. I don't want to be cast out on the road somewhere. And I certainly don't want to be caught in the weeds that are going to come up and choke me at the last moment. I want to be in the good soil every day of my life. Because that good soil is actually heaven presented to us right here. It all starts right here, right now. So let's not delay. Let's not delay at all. Let's say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Like Tito Coleander says in The Way of the Ascetics, faith comes not through pondering, he says, but through action. That's what does it. And that's where we often fail. So put these initial inclinations of faith into action, and when that great day comes, you will walk into heaven with all the saints. May it be that way for all of us. Amen.